The only reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, and we're still in chapter 1. We've been there for a couple of weeks now, and verses 21 through 28. At the beginning of the Gospel, it talks about Jesus having preaching with authority is not as preaching as the scribes did. The scribes basically quoted other people. They would quote a rabbi. They would quote from the book of Exodus or any other book, book of Esther. They would quote from somebody else, but they rarely came up with their own ideas. So when Jesus started teaching, what he did is he cited the Old Testament, the Torah, but then and the books of wisdom and Psalms, of course. But then what he did is he went on from there and told them more about the kingdom of God. And that's how we start today's gospel. Jesus and the apostles went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And the spirit cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "Be silent and come out of the man." And the unclean spirit, throwing the man into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all rightfully amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? And he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. These are the words of sacred scripture. We have heard that in the very same synagogue that Jesus was teaching in, there was a person with an unclean spirit. I mention this because I think we can be assured that no place is assured of having an unclean spirit. Each of us is human, and each of us brings our wills every place we go, and maybe especially, and should be especially, into churches. And I say that because we all have spirit. If you didn't have spirit, you wouldn't be here today. We all have spirit. We have our own spirit. We have God's spirit, the divine spirit. That's what we pray for and what we hope for. But we can also have, at times, an unclean spirit. And so Jesus was confronted by a person who at that time had an unclean spirit. And notice Jesus did not encounter that person in the marketplace, but rather in the synagogue, in a church. Now, what did that man who had an unclean spirit utter? He asked Jesus a question. Just think of the question. "Jesus of Nazareth, what have you to do with us?" There are many times in my life I've asked that same question, and I can only presume that you have also. "Jesus of Nazareth, what have you to do with us? What have you to do with me, Jesus? What business do you have with me, Jesus? Jesus, what do you want of me? Jesus, what do you want with me? Jesus, who do you think you are to mess with me? Jesus, who do you are to think to even tell me what to do?" Now, in spite of the gauntlet that series of questions asked, because there's only really one question there, the unclean spirit did acknowledge who Jesus was. And that is why the question. "I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You are Jesus, and what do you want of me? Leave me alone." So, if we're here in church, we really have the affirmation of the unclean spirit turned around to the divine spirit. Because we say the same thing in reverse order. Because our first affirmation is, "Jesus, you are the Holy One of God, and we recognize you. Jesus, we understand that you have come to give us life, not to destroy us. You have given us life in abundance to save us from ourselves. Jesus, we know what you want of us. We may not like it. However, we know what you want of us. We studied your teachings. We've heard your teachings. We've read the Bible passages. We know who you are leading us to. We know who you want us to be in union with. Now, since we're able in our human spirit to assess what God wants of us, what we actually do, and how we approach our thought process and how we set out our goals, we move forward in life. I think it's interesting that, you know, in all activities in life, we want tests. You know, the Super Bowl is coming up. And if for some reason you go to someone's house or you leave the room for a while and come back or you go to a sports bar, the very first question you're asking is, what's the score? Who's winning? Who's losing? Even if you have a pickup basketball game, you know, three or four people, five people, six people, they keep score. Well, I just had seven baskets and you only had three. What do you mean I had three? But there's a score kept. People want to know. People want to know where they are in a test in life. I was in Rotary for 17, 18 years, and I finally had to leave sorrowfully when I started seminary. It was just wasn't enough time. But I had the Rotary test. It was always in our minds. It was on our badges, and it was frequently said as part of the beginning of a meeting. And the Rotary test, and Rotary's in 100 different, Rotary has 100 different languages in worldwide, of course. So the tests are, is it true? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build better goodwill and better friendships? And will it be beneficial to all concerned? Those are the four tests. So as Christians, as sitting before the cross, what is our test? Do we have a test? Does what I say or do mean anything? And where is that test? Jesus had a test. And when Jesus would pray, he used that test. And how do we know it? Because his apostles then turned to him and say, Jesus, how do we pray? How do we dialogue with the divine? How do we know in our prayer who God is? And Jesus' response is, pray that your will may be God's will and build up God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So the test becomes really simple, and it was given to us by Jesus. Does what I do or say or think build up God's kingdom on this earth? What was Paul's test? It was the same. And Peter's and James's test and Timothy's, all the same. So I ask, you know, do you have a test in your life? Do you have a compass that guides you in where you're coming from? Now, we have a test as we have as human beings, and these are good tests. Does it feel good? Does it seem right to do? Is it fair? Is it just? All very, very good tests. But I think as people that want to follow in the footsteps of Christ, then we have to add Jesus' test. Does what I do build up God's kingdom on this earth? Because if my actions do not help God's kingdom, then while I may be a very good person, I'm not walking with Jesus on his mission, and he died for his mission. The test for what I say becomes the same. Does what I say foster God's kingdom on this earth? Because if what I say does not help form God's kingdom with all those around me, I'm not walking with Jesus on his mission, the mission that he died for. And the test really goes deeper then into who we are. Because the test comes into us. And the test is, does how and what I think increase God's kingdom on this earth? If my thought process, if my life paradigms are not in accord with God's will, then I cannot work with Christ to continue helping to increase God's kingdom in this world. My journey is then not in accord with the mind of Christ. In one of Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul asks a question, a very important question of the Corinthian community. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct us? Now, we were in a retreat. We could probably spend the next half hour and then come back into discussion and talk about it. If we were in a monastery, we could probably just leave everything alone for the next week and then come back and after a week of deliberation. Who has known the mind of Christ? And we think that, okay, well, Paul came up with this very convoluted, intelligent answer that really we have to study and everything else like that. And Paul didn't do that. Paul came back with a very simple answer. Paul presumed you know the answer, because this is exactly what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have the mind of Christ. We have it. We have it. As Christians, we have it. We have heard the gospel. We have studied the gospel. We've thought about it. We have prayed over it. No matter how much time we've done so in life, whether devoting a lot of time or just a little bit of time, but we know the mind of Christ. We know who Christ is all about. And we know this in part because of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as your kingdom is in heaven. That's Jesus' test for us. And he gave it to us as a prayer. A prayer so that we may know more about it. So that what we do and say and how we think is then influenced by it. The unclean spirit asked a simple question of Jesus. Have you come to destroy us? Now we can go back to the artist of the medieval times because it works. It's a good picture. We have a spirit on one side, the divine spirit. We are our own spirit. And we have the spirit of the unclean spirit on this side. And these spirits are constantly talking with us. But the truth is that we are led either into ourselves or through the divine or away from the divine. In other words, we are led to either be with ourselves, to build up God's kingdom, or to destroy God's kingdom. And the unclean spirit asked that of Jesus. Have you come to destroy? And what is Jesus' response? I have come to build up God's kingdom, and I need you to do it. Because if there were no Christians, there would not be any of Christ's body on this earth. The question then becomes, what spirit do we follow? And do we destroy God's kingdom, or do we build it up? Do the unclean spirits control us? Or do we follow Christ's command that they leave us? On a separate note, totally, in a couple of minutes we'll have our annual meeting and I'm on the agenda and I thought, well, I've got the microphone. I'll keep it. People have asked, basically how I'm doing, and the answer is I'm doing well. And, what's my role here? And the answer is I'm it. It's my title. It. I have to thank everyone for every contribution they make to what's going on in the ministerial department. The office staff, Cindy, Ann, Lauren, the custodial staff, Mark, Chip, and Kelly, everyone on the Board of Deacons, all the other boards, all have contributed to making the ministerial department, it work. So, what's important then is to realize is whose church this is. It's certainly not my church, and it is not the choir's church. It is not your church. We are all members. We are all members of this church and of the greater body, Christ's body on this earth. And as long as we as a church continually to remember that this is the church of Jesus Christ, that this is the church that he founded, this is the church that we are members of, this is the church that we're working for, this is the kingdom of God that in our church we are working to build, then we are a great church. And we will continue to worship with zest and robustness as the people that started this church in 1842 did, and we continue to carry on that. But as soon as we would forget, and we haven't, I guarantee we have not. I have not seen it. But as soon as we would forget that the Holy Spirit is among us and that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and take the time to recognize and keep focusing on Jesus the Christ, then we will not have lost our way. And we have not. If you look at what has occurred in just the short years that I've been here, this church has gone through some transformation and it's been wonderful. Less than a handful of years ago, there were 3 full-time ministers here. And if you go back less than a score, that's less than 20 years. There were 4 full-time ministers here. What's happened is people have stepped up. Now, we still need an executive pastor. We need somebody here. There's a lot of work to be done, and we need somebody. But in the bridge period, this church is doing wonderfully and will continue to do wonderfully. All we ask in prayer is, Lord, please maintain our focus so that what we say and what we do and how we think is all there to build up God's kingdom, not to be neutral, and certainly, certainly not to destroy it. Amen.